You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. God bless you. Happy Thursday to you. Thank God it's Thursday, one day closer here to the weekend. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday with me as we together tune in to God's frequency. God is always broadcasting. We're tuning in now to his frequency. Going to hear a word from him. It's going to come through the Apostle John and the book of Revelation. We'll pick it up again from the top here at chapter 9 in a moment. This weekend, I invite you guys to church this weekend. My sermon is called Press H for Hell. It came from a Far Side comic I saw the other day in which there was a man in the elevator with Satan. Many of you know the Far Side. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes this actually is quite sad. And the devil said to the man in the elevator that had his fingers over the buttons, getting ready to press a button. The devil said to him, because you see first floor, second floor, third floor, and then below the first floor, there was a button that said H on it. And the devil proceeded to say to this man, press H for both of us. And, you know, there just comes a time, you know, where Satan doesn't need to lie anymore. He never lies to God. Why lie to God the Father? He lied to the Son when the Son was in the flesh to try to get him to sin or to establish who he was. Which one of that, I don't know. But he never lied to God the Father. He always talked the truth there. Over Job, he talked the truth when he said, skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. That is an axiom for us until we prove him wrong. He spoke the truth when he said to God, he says, I can't harm him because you've put a hedge of protection around him. We read in Revelation chapter 12, it says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses us before God day and night. Now, there's another instance where he doesn't need to lie, and that is Paul Esposito's sins. Why lie? I sin and fall short of the glory of God. But that's not the end of the story. So this is the launching point for this sermon. Good gosh, how could I end up in an elevator with the devil? What can I do to ensure that that never happens to me? How do I overcome? How do I overcome this devil whom the Lord Jesus said seeks to steal, kill, and destroy? How do I overcome him? That is given in the Bible. That's our launching point for this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We would love to see you. Now, Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Sunday morning at 10:30. And we will be meeting Wednesdays again here starting October the 1st. We're taking off the month of September. We'll be back October 1st, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, going through the book of Galatians, verse by verse. The sermons are broadcast live. The whole service is broadcast live on Facebook, on our Island Community Church Facebook page. And the sermons are uploaded on our YouTube page. So you can watch any past sermons or watch this one come Sunday afternoon. Here now today, we're in the book of Revelation. We're looking at this trumpet. So let's rehash here for a minute. Remember, there's 21 judgments. There's seven seals. The Lamb, which is the Son of God. Remember, understand the symbol, understand the book. understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. We understand who the Lamb is because we understand, hopefully, the other 65 books in the Bible. We understand the Lamb. We understand what the scapegoat was when they laid everyone, they laid hands on the goat and they transferred all the sins of the people to the scapegoat and send them out into the wilderness. The other goat, they sacrificed. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It's the Lamb. John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away. I even think he could have meant the scapegoat. The innocent bystander, scapegoat, where our figure of speech, scapegoat, comes from. That's from the Old Testament. They laid hands on him, transferred all of the sins of the people to the scapegoat, and then send him out into the wilderness. We read in John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And the Passover lamb, the lamb that was slain, they took his blood and put it around the on top of the door and on the doorpost. So when the death angel came, he, now to coin a phrase invented by William Tyndale, they passed over the houses that were protected by the blood. So we understand who the Lamb is. The Lamb is the Lamb of God. Even back in Genesis, when Abraham was all ready to sacrifice his son, grabbed that knife, he was all ready, and God said, no, you don't. Now I know that you're willing to do anything, even sacrifice your only begotten son. And then they found a lamb caught in the thicket by its horns, and they sacrificed that lamb in place of. Now when we get to the last book of the Bible, we understand who the Lamb is. The Lamb represents the Son of God. The book of Revelation is a book of symbols. You have to understand the symbol. When you understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. Now, and today we're going to see a star. Understand what star means, and then it'll help us understand the book here. When the star, for the most part, is an angel. Even back in Job chapter 38, morning stars, the morning stars rejoice together at creation. Revelation chapter 12, when Satan is cast out of heaven, it says that the dragon, because the dragon is symbolic of the devil, the dragon's tail drew a third of the stars with him when he was kicked out of heaven. So we understand that star represents an angel. We're going to get to chapter 9 here coming up in a minute. So we've looked at these. We are going to pick it up here on the fifth trumpet. So these trumpets so far, the first trumpet was great hail and fire. And the damage done was a third of the trees burned up and all the green grass. The second trumpet, a meteor crashes into the sea. Second trumpet, damage, a third of the sea turned to blood, a third of the sea creatures die, and a third of all the ships are destroyed. Third trumpet is an asteroid, perhaps, falls on the fresh waters, perhaps a comet or an asteroid. We don't know. We'll find out soon enough whenever this happens, if we're around to see this. So the damage from the third trumpet is the waters turn bitter and many die. Also, this star here is named for whatever reason, and that is wormwood. So again, understand the symbol, understand the book. We have to wonder what this is, the star. Revelation chapter 8, verse 10, a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell in a third part of the waters and upon the fountain of waters. And the name of the star is called wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died from the waters because they were made bitter. Now, this is not talking about Alpha Centauri, a star 1,000 times larger than Earth that's only going to damage a small portion. No, we got to understand that the star here is not talking about a celestial star out here in the galaxy. It's not like Betelgeuse or Orion or Ursa or the Big Dipper or some other giant star. The star here probably is talking about an angel. Or if a burning star that does damage here to the water, maybe it's a comet or a meteor or something like that. Now, this star has a name, and the name is Wormwood. Greek word, absinthos, where that terrible-tasting medicine absinthe comes from. Very, very bitter. So that's the third trumpet. The fourth trumpet, a third of the sun struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, and a third of all the light. So damage from the fourth trumpet, all lights are diminished. Just like Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, where Jesus says is immediately after the tribulation. I don't think these things are going to happen twice. I don't think the sun, moon, the stars are going to be darkened twice. I think it's going to be once, but we'll find out if we're there when this happens. Then we read in the end of chapter 9, he says, I beheld and I heard an angel the end of chapter 8, flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are about to sound. And isn't that the truth? Now we're up to chapter 9, and now we're going to see this terrible thing that happens here in chapter 9, when this angel, demon, maybe the devil himself. Let's pick it up here in chapter 9. Let's pick it up here from the top. Then the fifth angel sounded. Okay, fifth trumpet now we're up to. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, to him. All right, so there's more proof here that star is not talking about a celestial star. Star is talking about here an angel. He's given in the masculine. Notice it says here, to him. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Literally, that means in Greek, the key to the shaft of the abyss. Greek word, abusos here for this abyss or pit. This is like a sewer, this smoking sewer. And down comes this angel, another one of God's end times players, good or demon, it doesn't matter. God's large and in charge. He's always in charge. He reigns in hell. He reigns in heaven. He reigns everywhere. There is no reigning for anyone else in hell. Like that old stupid evil saying, I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. You're not going to reign in hell because God reigns everywhere. God uses demons. He uses angels. He uses everything. The whole world is at his disposal. So whoever this is, I don't know, but he's given the key to the bottomless pit. Now let's pick it up here in verse 2. So he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, of course, that would be Jews, because the Bible explicitly calls them 144,000 Jewish men or women. So they're instructed, only harm the unbelievers and the God-haters out here. Everyone who hasn't been marked. Where's the church at this time? I don't know. I don't see the church here. We see God's dealing with the nation of Israel. So 144,000 Jews, don't commingle the church and the nation of Israel. You can't do that here as a Bible expositor or understanding the word. God's made a distinction between the church and Israel. Israel, we read in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, that the tribulation is a time of Jacob's trouble, not the church. You don't read about the church anymore after chapter 3. These aren't the church that are sealed. These are Jews. Not only that, he tells you specifically, you must interpret that literal. Whether or not the number is literal, I don't know. But you've got to understand these are Jews, not the church. Verse 5, and they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, but death will flee from them. My translation, the EMTV, says death will elude them. No dying here. I guess the natural laws here have been upended. You're not going to die. It reminds me of one of my old favorite horror movies as a kid. It was with Lon Chaney in it. It was called The Indestructible Man, where the guy couldn't die no matter what he did. He couldn't die. And now here we see people are going to be unable to die. The normal progressive way of killing oneself here, there is no more Jack Kevorkian. Remember, he was the angel of death. When people felt like dying, they would call this one of these assisted suicide guys, and they would help come and take you out, help you to end your life. Now, apparently here at this time, the natural laws aren't going to apply here. Hey, book, chapter, and verse. Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. In those days, men will seek death, and they will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee. Verse 7, the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. Wow, what a horrible thing here. See, God doesn't want you to be a part of this. Remember, this is for all of the God haters and unbelievers and atheists. Everyone who has rejected God's offer of salvation, everyone who has rejected God's offer and God extending love to you. That's whom this is for. Remember, Jesus said hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for you. The Bible says God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. God doesn't want this for you. Absolutely right. This is a horrendous look at what's going to happen to all of the God haters and unbelievers and everyone out here in the world who has rejected the Son of God. This is your future without Jesus. Or of your kids, your sons, your daughters, your grandkids, everyone who has rejected Jesus Christ. This is the future. Whenever this is going to happen, we don't know. This is why the Bible, this is why the people that were in the know, the people that have been to heaven, like the Apostle Paul's been to heaven, he said, it's against the law for me to tell you what I've seen. But this I say to you, that today is the accepted day. Behold, today is the day of salvation. The author of Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice, he's quoting Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today is the day to stop running and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. God does not want this for you. Verse 9. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And their sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit again. So we see this as a person. The star is a being here. It's not a celestial star. It's an angel or a demon. It's masculine. Him. They had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. So look, he's telling you, the author now is telling you who this is. It's not Ursa. It's Abaddon, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. But in Greek, he has the name Apollyon. Same meaning, just one's in Hebrew, one's in Greek. He's covering all the bases here. The word means destroyer. This reminds me of Proverbs 30:27. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. But yet these do here. This is not talking about the little critters, locusts. These are demons sent out here to carry out God's plan here at the end of the age. For everyone, all of the God-haters and everyone who has rejected the Son of God, this is your future. Verse 12, behold, as one woe is past, behold, there are still two more woes coming after this. So again, look, this is intended to scare you. This is supposed to be absolutely repulsive for you. As we read in Proverbs 22, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Imagine living here at this time. This is supposed to be repulsive. You don't want a part of this. Now let's keep rolling here. On to the sixth trumpet, verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the, no, not the kraken, though it might as well be kraken. Pick your poison. You might wish it was kraken, but no, instead of that, we got some more angels here who have been created, prepared for this very time here. Pick your poison, though. All I know is don't hire a boat captain to take you out on the Euphrates River for some speckled trout. Look what's going on now in the Euphrates River. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who were bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. So talk about sovereignty of God. Look at who's large and in charge. God didn't respond to all the evil in the world. No, this is just time. Matter of fact, we could say the world is out of time at this point. Because this time is already marked out in advance from eternity past. Listen again to this verse. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, day, month, and year were released to kill a third of all of the people out here on the earth. Once again, we see this phrase here, prepared, etoimazo. We read that in the Bible, right? Prepare. From a meal to prepare the Passover to John 14, Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. Or John the Baptist preparing a people for the Lord. To Jonah, God prepared a whale. He prepared a gourd. He prepared a worm. He prepared an east wind. Here we have Almighty God preparing four angels bound up in the Euphrates River. Evil as well, like the first one. So I wonder if this was perhaps punishment for some of the angels who had sinned and followed Satan in his fall. The Apostle Peter wrote, God did not spare the angels who sinned, but he cast them down to hell and delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now, maybe this is going to be a part of that. You know, we're going to end it up right here today. We will pick it up here with tomorrow's program. Don't miss tomorrow's program. We'll pick it up again here with these four angels that are tied up and bound way down in the depths of the Euphrates River. Now, the Euphrates River, we know, is right there with Iraq. Iran separates the Middle East from the Far East, from China, North Korea. In our next program, we'll pick it up here, and we see that there's going to be a huge battle here coming up. 200 million man army on the other side of this river here, and that's where we'll pick it up here tomorrow. Thanks for joining us here today. God bless you guys on this Thursday. Join us again. We're going through the book of Revelation verse by verse. We'll pick it up here in our next program here in Chapter 9. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent with today's question about the kind of words Christians use. In Colossians 4:6, Paul writes, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person." John, what did Paul have in mind with that strange phrase, seasoned with salt?
Well, I think it's a pretty simple analogy, actually. The Apostle Paul recognizes that salt plays a role in food. It did then, it does now. And it makes it tasty. It makes it more delectable. It makes it more acceptable to us. We enjoy the enhancement of the flavor of it. And that's exactly what he's talking about. In our speech, we ought to be speaking always in a gracious way and adding flavor to what we say, adding delight to what we say, because we're careful in the way we frame our words. I guess in a negative sense, you could say what this is warning us against is being quick to speak and being curt or abrupt or thoughtless or unkind, or unnecessarily blunt. We need to make sure that we flavor our words, that they are gracious words to start with, and they're appropriately flavored so that they will be well received by the person with whom we speak. So easy to sin with your tongue, isn't it? Yeah, that's what James warns us about. Whoever doesn't do that's a perfect man. Always remember that. Speak with grace and season it in an appropriate way to make it more delightful.
Thanks for listening to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. He's Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. If you'd like to submit a question, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Portions of WMIE's Broadcasting Day are underwritten by Treasure Your Landscape. Treasure Your Landscape is a licensed and insured family business based in Brevard County with many years of experience in the landscaping business. They always work hard to gain your utmost satisfaction. They bring passion and proficiency to every project with a commitment to impeccable service. Treasure Your Landscape, available at 321-749-1432. They are a comprehensive hub for all outdoor space enhancement needs. Their services include the installation of premium artificial turf, carefully designed putting greens, meticulous landscaping services, and expert paver installation. They can transform your outdoor areas into a space your family will treasure. Treasure Your Landscape, 321-749-1432 is a proud corporate sponsor of the radio ministries of WMIE.